It's made of a slice of heaven and everything else that's sweet.
With your host, Brian Sanchez.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
Where we cover nothing but sports.
Garants, and that's guaranteed. That's what that means right there, because they're sweet. That's called You're Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset.
That's right, people. You heard it. Brian Sanchez with you. This is the Sports Report. It's been a while, and I'm happy to be here. Last week, I didn't have a show because I was doing women's basketball for Dominican. By the way, they won by about 40 points there. I was on play-by-play for that. That was great. But I'll tell you what, I missed 2 weeks, but there are three stories capturing the news right now, and I'm going to be covering those for you today. It's kind of a roller coaster day for us. I mean, I got down news, and then I got up news, and then I would go back down. And then at the end of the show, of course, we're bringing in Pete Yob to rep the Bay. So the format today is a little different. There's no top 10 because we didn't have enough time. We are going to have a Gottheim, but it's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little bit more of a downer Gottheim. And we have one headline today because I really want to spend most of the show on one thing, and that's the San Francisco Giants trade that got made on Monday, yesterday. And first, I'd like to tell you that the Sports Report Facebook page is going according to plan. We have daily poll questions now. So all of you that are listening, if you don't follow the Sports Report on Facebook already, go to www.facebook.com/Brian Sanchez Sports, and it'll take you to the Sports Report page. I'm putting up daily poll questions. We've got two now, and they've gone better than I expected, and we're going to get to that later. I have a lot of comments from listeners on the Facebook page. Let me know what they think about the poll questions. They voted and they left a comment, so that's going great. So if you're not doing that, you really should, because you have a great chance to be heard on air. Because if you give me something good, which most of my fans do because they know their stuff, I'm going to put it on the air, and you'll get a taste of that today. But I'm going to start today with a little bit of sad news, and a rest in peace to Smokin' Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier died at the age of 67 from liver cancer. He's one of the greatest boxers ever, and he is exactly what boxing needs today. They need some big, heavy hitters that could bring the sport back to life, like Joe Frazier did back in the day. And there was Frazier and Foreman, and that was the Rumble in the Jungle. But the big deal for Frazier was Frazier Ali. And the biggest deal for Frazier in the Frazier Ali fights was in March 1971, where in the 15th round, Frazier unleashed a left hook and it knocked Ali to the canvas, and he ended up winning that fight, stunning everybody because Ali is the greatest boxer that ever lived. That was at the Madison Square Garden, where he fought Ali one more time. And then, of course, there was the Thrilla in Manila. That's the Philippines, for those who don't know. Ali Frazier there, too. So Frazier fought Ali three times. He went 41 rounds with Muhammad Ali. And ESPN's Skip Bayless said that Joe Frazier never got his due because he was a contemporary and a direct opponent of Muhammad Ali, who's the greatest ever. So it really hurt him that Ali was around, because Frazier was great, but he just didn't look the same because Ali was there too. So that's a little unfortunate, but Joe Frazier, great boxer, and it was a very short stint he had battling liver cancer. It was unfortunate that it all happened so quick, but he did say before he went that he's so happy to have his family and his friends with him at his time of passing. And his favorite thing was that no matter where he went his whole life, people always reminded him that he beat Ali, as if he didn't know already. So that's sad news to start the Sports Report. And that's not usually how I do it. But, you know, when someone of that stature goes, you need to recognize it and say a little rest in peace for him. And that's what we did. Now, we're going to take a little break. But after the break, we're going to hit Facebook for fan reaction on the San Francisco Giants trade. And it's big. I got mixed reaction. I got a poll. I'll give you the poll results. I also have a second poll that doesn't have to do with Giants. So we'll get to that after all the Giants talk. But this trade has bigger implications than just a pitcher for an outfielder. And I got lots of listener feedback, and we're going to get to that after the break. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu. Hey there, folks. Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you, once I saw this news yesterday, I could not wait to get to this studio and start talking to you about it today. I mentioned it before. It's the San Francisco Giants trade. And it was sporadic left-handed pitcher Jonathan Sanchez for the seemingly emergent Melky Cabrera. Now, this has implications beyond finding another outfielder who can hit. He's a left-handed hitter. He can play center field. He can bat leadoff. And letting go of Sanchez, who people have got kind of frustrated with, it goes so much deeper than that. People just don't understand that fully necessarily, but that's what we're going to get into today. I'm going to take up two whole segments just talking Giants baseball today, because when I was mentioning that to the people around campus, it's exactly what they wanted. They wanted Giants baseball. And they proved it by commenting on the Facebook page. I got some text messages to read. It's going to be great. So I'm going to start this with the Facebook poll that I've been mentioning. I put up a Facebook poll question. Do you like the Jonathan Sanchez for Melky Cabrera trade? 62% was for yes. So 62% yes. So polling my fans, the trade was a success because we like it so far. Now, there's always the chance that Melky Cabrera breaks his leg on the first day of spring training and Jonathan Sanchez throws 17 no-hitters this year, but you can't really count on that now. You got to go by numbers from the past and projected numbers, and that's what you have to worry about, and that's what we're going to do. So, I got some comments here. I asked people to vote and give me your thoughts on the trade. And I have from Dylan Gorin, former classmate of mine at Woodside High School, represent. He said, excellent trade. Inconsistent pitching for perennial 300 hitter and skilled center fielder? Yes, please. Now, inconsistent pitcher? Yes, he's very inconsistent. No one can argue that. Perennial 300 hitter? That's a little more iffy. He did hit 305 last year, which was very good. They said he came into that season in a lot better shape than he ever has before. And it was due to an offseason weightlifting routine that he did. And he said he's doing the same one this year. So hopefully that bodes well for the Giants. But there's no doubt that they traded in sporadic for maybe consistent. And that's what my grandfather, Rich Donner, said. He said trading inconsistency for consistency is always good. And I'd have to agree with that. I think Melky Cabrera is consistent. He's a career 275 hitter. So hitting 305 last year was well above his career clip, but 275 hitter isn't that bad. But that then I have to take it to a text. And those of you out there who have my phone number, feel free to text me at any time during the week, and I'm likely to use that text on air. And this one's from Michael York, one of my best friends and a baseball player down at Chapman University. So he knows baseball. He says that we could have gone somebody better last year, which we're going to get into in a second, because I have another post about that. But then he went on to say he dislikes the fact that we're adding another 270 hitter, which is true. And it seems like if a guy has a career over 290, that Giants and Giants fans piss themselves. And he's absolutely right. The hitting bar is set so low in San Francisco that a decent hitter looks like a god. And I'd have to agree. That's why the Melky Cabrera is a little overblown what he is for this team. I like the trade. I'm on the side that likes the trade. I think it's a good trade. But is he the savior that people think he is? No. Is he going to help this team? Absolutely. But he won't help this team more than health will. If Freddie and Posey can put together a full season with Melky on base all the time, then we're working on something. And now, as far as Sanchez leaving, he was very sporadic. Now, look, he was big in the playoffs. He helped us get a ring. There's no doubt he was big in the season getting us to the playoffs where we won the World Series. But people are going to mostly remember him for struggling to throw a strike and his sporadic delivery that he changed three times over this last season. He's been rumored about being traded for years now, and Sabian's been denying that they've been trying to trade him, and he still does. We'll get into that. But Sanchez will mostly be known for having games where he threw more balls than strikes. And I know every time he took the field when I was at home, me and my dad would look at each other and go, oh, this is going to be sketchy. And speaking of my dad, I have a post from him here on the Facebook page. He said, Sanchez was a good Giant, which is true. He said the trade will only be good if Melky can post the same numbers next year as this year. Yeah, if he does the same numbers, the rest of the West is going to be in trouble. And then he says, only time will tell, obviously. But now we get into the hard-hitting stuff. My dad asks, who names their kid Melky? Come on, man. And I'm with you on that one, Dad. It's a weird name. I looked it up on Wikipedia to see if, like, his name was really Miguel or something, and he just goes by Melky, but it's not. His birth name is Melky, so that is weird, and you nailed it on that one. Now, I got another post here from another one of my high school baseball buddies, Daniel Ingles. Real good friend of mine, loves the Giants like no other, and this is what he has to say. And just bear with me, we'll get into it in a second, don't worry. Melky is just another outfielder past his prime. He is switching leagues so you can account for a slow start. And breaking up the rotation is not necessary. Though he is not going to be a number one starter ever, he still does a fine job and possesses the talent to stop a Giant skid. Okay, there's a lot in that post which I like because it's a knowledgeable guy talking to me about baseball, and I can get into a little discussion with his Facebook post here. Another outfielder past his prime is debatable because Melky is 27 years old, and it looks like he just peaked last year. So actually, I think he's in his prime, and for the next 3 or 4 years, he's going to be playing his best baseball. So I don't agree with him being an outfielder past his prime. Now, switching leagues, you can account for a slow start. I do believe that switching leagues hurts a lot of the time, but just 2 years ago, Melky Cabrera spent a year on the Atlanta Braves, so that was National League. Then he went to the Royals, and now he's back on the Giants. So he is switching leagues from AL to NL, but he has spent a year here. So maybe he'll know pitchers and he'll know ballparks. So that won't be as big of a problem. And then when he talks about Sanchez breaking up the rotation is not necessary, I don't really think they are breaking up the rotation because you're still going to go Lincecum, Bumgarner, Kane, Vogelsong, and that's perfectly fine. And then Zito at the five, but they're not just giving Zito the five spot. They said they're going to bring Surkamp in, who wasn't ready this last year, and I don't think he's going to be ready to challenge him for the five spot. And they're also looking at bargain bin veteran starting pitching to bring in to battle with Zito for the five spot. So they're not just giving it to him. And honestly, I always saw Jonathan Sanchez as the hole in the rotation. That you'd go Lincecum, great start. Sanchez, poor start. Kane, fantastic start. Vogelsong, fantastic start. Sanchez was the one breaking that up. So now I think when you throw Bumgarner up there instead of him, I think we have better continuity in the rotation. And then on that comment, I got my friend Travis Burdett. He knows baseball too. He agrees with me. He says that Melky isn't past his prime. He's only 27. That's what I said. He just said Travis is just scared that last year was a fluke, which is a certain possibility because he's never had a year like he did last year. Last year was 305, 18 home runs, 20 steals, 87 RBIs, 102 runs. That's a huge year from a guy, especially from the Royals. So is it possible that that was a fluke? Absolutely. And I wouldn't argue that it couldn't be a fluke. I don't think it was. I think he's going to be good because he is a career 275 hitter. And my favorite part about him is both last year and his career on-base percentage is over 330. And that's what I'm looking for in a leadoff hitter is that on-base percentage. That's what we don't have in Torres. And that's why I like Melky Cabrera. Then Travis says, for a talent and potential of Jonathan Sanchez, I feel like we could have got someone a little better. That's valid. Sanchez has always been the potential play. People have always talked about trading on him for his potential. But can we still talk about potential? He's had 5 years now. He's won a World Series. He has a no-hitter. I think we're past the potential point. I think he is what he is. He's a sporadic lefty that when he's on, he's going to be very well. But he's only going to be on a quarter of the time. And the times he's off, it's going to be ugly and he's going to give you four innings. Now, maybe the Kansas City pitching coach sees something that he can tweak in Jonathan Sanchez and it'll fix him. More power to you, Kansas City. I like the trade. And the Kansas City GM said that 5 weeks ago, Sabian contacted the Royals about a Jonathan Sanchez trade. So he's been shopping Jonathan Sanchez for 5 weeks, minimum. It could have been more than 5 weeks. And Melky is the best we can do. Because the Giants are down on Sanchez. The fans are down on Sanchez. People see him as the inconsistent pitcher. That's what most of my posts have been. So why wouldn't other teams be down on him too? The league is down on him. They see him as an inconsistent lefty. So I really don't think you could have gotten better than Melky Cabrera because his value isn't anywhere near what it used to be. And also when we go back to the text messages, Michael York again said we could have got more last year, which is absolutely right. We waited too long to trade Sanchez. His value went down. And back to Michael York on the text messages, he says that we finally did the pitcher for hitter trade, but it wasn't a big hitter, which is kind of annoying. And it's way too late because we could have got someone really good. I remember their talks of Sanchez in a deal with Zach Wheeler for Prince Fielder. What would have come of that? I don't know, but he's a much better hitter than Melky Cabrera. Now, I'm not sure if Fielder would have stayed. Maybe he would have. But I do feel like the pitcher for hitter trade was too late. But I do think Sabian did all right in this trade. Now, we're just about done talking about the trade. My roommate Tyler Peterson says an iffy pitcher for a solid hitter with stolen base ability definitely got the better end of that deal. I would agree Sanchez is an iffy pitcher and that Cabrera is a solid hitter with stolen base ability. That's no lie. And I don't think that's going to be a problem. Oh, we just got a text message from my dad on the show. Now, you heard him talking about Melky Cabrera before and making a joke about his name because my dad's a funny guy and that's what he does. And he's always laughing at people who have panda hats on their head. And now we got the baby giraffe on their head because of Brandon Belt, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. But now my dad says, now we're going to start seeing milk crates on people's heads. And he's probably right, because Milky Cabrera is going to be a fashion. It's going to be a fad, just like Cody Ross was. And Milky Cabrera is going to get a little cult following, and it's going to be awesome. So we're going to see pandas, giraffes, and milk cartons. It's going to be funny. Let's see. I got tons of Facebook posts to get to, so we're going to keep going to those. One of my classmates here at Dominican University plays on the soccer team, Jordan Smith. This is what he has to say about the trade. "While I'm pretty glad we got rid of Sanchez and got out something of value for a dying stock, I'm skeptical of Melky. Sabian loves to grab people who had a career year like Rowand and Zito, but they often don't work. I really hope we keep Torres as a fourth outfielder, though for his speed and defense." Jordan, great work there. I mean, there's a lot to unpack in that, and I think you're right about a lot of it, that getting rid of Sanchez was a good thing because he's sporadic, and having a pitcher who can go three innings every time out there is not good. And he is a dying stock. You're absolutely right. His stock was high 2 years ago. It's going down and down. So it is a dying stock, and it looks like we might have got a decent little player out of Sanchez before his stock hit rock bottom. Now, you bring up Sabian, and Sabian, who is being called to get fired 2 months before the season started where we won the World Series. Now he's Mr. Can't do anything wrong in the eyes of Giants fans, but you're absolutely right. People have one big year. Aaron Rowan, Barry Zito, Mark DeRosa, the list goes on and on and on. Aubrey Huff, who we'll get into in a minute. I've talked about him before on the show, and you know how I feel about him. And he likes to see those one-year wonders and give him a and go get them. There's only one difference with Melky Cabrera. The other guys are free agents that he signs after the one big year for 5 or 6 years. Melky Cabrera was a trade, and he's only under contract for one more year, which is going to be a key point that I get to after the break, because after the break, I'm going to come back and talk about the implications of the Giants lineup and what needs to happen next. You also get into, you hope that they keep Torres as a fourth outfielder for his speed and defense, and I think that's an absolute possibility because they don't want to bring Gary Brown up. There's a good chance Torres sticks around because he'll play any of the three outfield positions. It also depends on further outfield moves, which are going to be discussed after the break, because these are big implications of what's happening. And I want to get to them. So you know what? I'm going to go to a break now. I think it's time for a break because I really, really, really want to discuss. We've discussed the trade. We've got fan feedback, what they think of Melky, what they think of Sanchi. I'm just going to miss it because I had Sanchi, and I'm Sanchi, and he's Sanchi, so I like that, but I'm glad he's gone. We've got fan feedback on the trade. You got the poll results. You have 6-7 comments, people telling me what they think about the trade. That's gold. People, make sure you keep voting on the polls and make sure you keep commenting. I always want to know what you guys think. The show's so much better when it isn't just my thoughts. I want to know what you guys think, because that's why you listen to me, because you know your stuff, and you know I know my stuff. So together, we're just one big bundle of sports knowledge, and I love it. It's coming together beautifully. This is exactly how the Sports Report is supposed to roll. Now, after the break, we're going to get into the future of the Giants, what everything means. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. That's enough break. That was way too long of a break for me. 30 seconds is more than I'll ever need because it's Giants baseball, people, and I love Giants baseball. I'm ready to get back to it. Now, a big part of this next segment is going to be Twitter. I'm going to be taking it to the tweets to see what the true professionals are saying about this trade and the implications that it's going to have moving on. Now, one of the big ones is Carlos Beltran. Do we bring him back? Do we not bring him back? A lot of people I'm talking to want Carlos Beltran back. So do I. He did very well as a Giant. Now, what's been discussed about an offer for Beltran is 2 years at $12 million a year and a mutual option for the third year. So if Beltran does what he expects to do over the 2 years, he'll get a third year at probably about $15 million. And that would round out a lineup very nicely. We would have Posey catching, Huff at first, Sanchez at second, Crawford at short, because after they spend the money on Beltran, they're not going to have the money to go after Jimmy Rollins, so they're just going to go with Crawford, who has been hitting pretty well in the Arizona Fall League, and he's seen as a very good defensive shortstop. Every team's going to have an eight hitter anyway. You might as well have a good defender at shortstop in Brandon Crawford. Then you're going to have Pablo at third, Beltran in left, Melky in center, and Nate Sheerholtz, my sister's favorite player, her nizzle, Nate Sheerholtz, will be the starting right fielder. So the lineup will go something like this. Melky Cabrera, Freddie Sanchez, Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, Carlos Beltran, Aubrey Huff, Nate Sheerholtz, Brandon Crawford, pitcher spot. That is a good, solid lineup. Now, if you could bring up back Kepinger to keep him as a utility infielder, I think that would be great. I loved Kepinger. I love what he did as a Giant. And I think if you can keep Jordan Smith's boy, Andres Torres, around to be a fourth outfielder with speed and defense, I think that would help the team a lot too. And that's a lineup, folks. That's a team that's going to put up some runs for the pitching staff of, as it is now, Lincecum, Bumgarner, Kane, Vogelsong, Zito. That's how it's formatted right now. There's your team right there, folks. I just gave it to you. Wilson in the bullpen. The newly extended Javier Lopez send him up along with Ramon Ramirez and Sergio Romo, of course. And I think we've got a nice little team going there. It's a team that's going to contend for the playoffs again. But that is only if we can get Carlos Beltran. And for those of you who want Beltran back, I have really bad news for you today. It was reported by Scott Knobler on Twitter that the Boston Red Sox have began their pursuit of Carlos Beltran. And we know that spells death for the Giants because we are never, ever going to be able to outbid Beltran. We're already going low on him, hoping he just wants to stay with us. But the Red Sox are going to do something stupid, you know, like 2 years, $40 million, pay him way more than he's worth. And that's the issue. But you can always go across the bay to the new free agent, Josh Willingham. He had 29 home runs last year. And he plays for the A's, which is just as bad of an offensive stadium as AT&T is. So maybe if you could bring him into left field, we still have business with him batting fifth. But now let's get to the issues with the rest of the team. One of the big keys in the Melky Cabrera trade was the fact that he's only under contract for 1 year. Jonathan Sanchez only had 1 year left on his contract too, and for all intents and purposes, as we can see now, the Giants had no designs on bringing him back. So, what do? They trade him for a center fielder, leadoff hitter, something we're missing. But down there in the minor leagues, there's someone making a lot of noise, and that's Gary Brown, the first-round pick out of Cal State Fullerton. I've seen this guy in person. He can absolutely fly. He hits. He's got very quick hands, stays inside the ball. A little rough in the outfield, but with his offense and his base-stealing ability, you'll be able to get over that. I was watching a minor league game on TV, San Jose Giants, and he hit a ground ball up the middle, and it was a 10-hopper into the outfield. He didn't stop at first. He kept rounding the bag, went all the way into second, and got a double on a ground ball up the middle. Incredibly fast. He makes Darren Ford look like he's running in sand. Gary Brown is that fast, the young man out of Cal State Fullerton. And they're thinking one more year in the minors. Give him a full year in AAA, and he's going to be ready to go. So you don't want to block his progress. So you get Cabrera for 1 year. And after Cabrera has this year on the Giants, you can let him walk. And then you could just bring Brown right up to take his spot, leadoff center fielder, the rookie out of Cal State Fullerton. And I think that's beautifully orchestrated. That shows they're looking to win now, but they're still keeping the future in mind by not locking him up for a long time. However, Melky can play left and right field, so if he has a big year for the Giants, they could bring him back and still bring Brown up. But the plan is 1 year Melky and then bring up Gary Brown, which I think is a very smart thing to do because you don't want to create a logjam in center field like the god-awful, ugly, it hurts to talk about it, logjam we have going on at first base. Thank you, Aubrey Huff. Aubrey Huff is Bochy's boy. If you watch the Giants and you know the Giants, you know Bruce Bochy is in love with Aubrey Huff. That's why he still plays, because Aubrey Huff is bad. Like, get your hands inside of one ball and hit it to left center field. You did it 6 times this year, and every time you did it, you hit a double to left center field. Every other swing, got around it, ground out to second base. Me and my dad would have bets. Is he going to ground out to second base or strike out? And we were usually right either way, because it's going to be one of the two. It was that bad. And then you look behind him, you got Brett Pill and Brandon Belt. Two young studs, a left-handed hitter and a right-handed hitter. Power hitters, guys with pop, guys with good solid swing, stay inside the ball, drive it the other way, get nice backspin, ball carries. Brett Pill raked in his short time in the majors. And Brandon Belt, you can see a steady improvement in his plate appearances as the season went on. And it's rough when you neither of them get a chance to play because you keep running Aubrey Huff out there. The old man doesn't have it anymore. Now, he has a history of going good year, bad year, good year, bad year, and it would make sense because the World Series year was a good year. Then, terrible year. So, this coming year should be a good one, but I don't want to wait around to find out. I'll give him a 20-game leash. 20 games into the season, if you're not performing, you are belt backup. And 20 games after that, if you and your pinch hit and spot start role are still not performing, Pill is Belt's new backup, and you're just gone. Because you're in your last year of your contract. We don't need you. You're creating a logjam. Just go away. And they're avoiding that in center field by not trading for an old center fielder who would be there for 4 or 5 years, not giving an opening to Gary Brown. Because Cabrera will be out in a year. Brown can come in, and that's perfect. That's according to plan. That's exactly what they want. Now, I honestly don't think we're going to get Beltran. I want him back, but it's been reported that the Giants are going to be now looking for more bargain bin players if they don't get Beltran, which means bargain bin is the cheap old veterans that Jordan Smith referenced before about Bochy going after people who had a big year last year. Those are bargain bin players. He just pays them a lot. So that means no Willingham, even though I would like Willingham on this team. You're still going to have an outfield spot to fill if you don't get Beltran back. Who are you going to go with? Are you going to give Belt the starting left field job? I don't think so, because if you thought Belt was ready to hit in the pros on opening day this year, you'd be starting him at first base, his position. So you got Cabrera in center. It looks like, for all intents and purposes, it's going to be Sheerholtz in right. So there's two-thirds of the outfield. You need a left fielder. You need Beltran, you need Willingham. I'm not sure what you do if you don't get either of those. I don't think you're going to have Torres in there with Cabrera and Sheerholtz. That's a light-hitting outfield. You need some pop. You need Beltran, you need Willingham. If it's not those two, I'm not sure what they're going to do. So that leaves that position open. We can hope for Beltran and Willingham, though. But then brings up the question, if you don't get Beltran and you have all that money you're going to use on him, do you get Jimmy Rollins? I say no, because Jimmy Rollins is saying he won't sign for anything other than a 5-year contract. He's 32, 33 years old. I don't want to sign him till he's that old, because he's already breaking down. He's not going to be worth it in the future, and there's no way the Giants are going to dole out enough cash to get Jose Reyes over here. So they kind of need to put the money into that third outfield spot and just leave Brandon Crawford at short. Second base is solid. Freddie Sanchez is there. He can hit. First base, who knows? Catcher, best in the league, Buster Posey. You don't have to worry about that. Pablo Sandoval, at a resurgent year, in shape. Hopefully, he's said he's going to come back even lighter than he was last year, which would be awesome because he did great. So you can count him in at third. Cabrera is going to be the center fielder. Even though Bochy has said he's not committing to Cabrera in center and he's not committing him to the leadoff spot, it's kind of a consensus that that's what he's going to be. Sheerholtz down there at the bottom of the lineup playing right field, showing off that cannon. You need the third outfielder. If they can pull that off, they're going to be good. So, the final say is the people like the Jonathan Sanchez trade. 62% said yes to whether or not it was they liked to trade. The offense is looking up. You get Melky. You bring back Freddie. You bring back Buster. You keep Pablo there. Maybe a five hitter, a third outfielder. It looks like it's going to be good. But you heard all the implications. I went over this segment. It has to do with Gary Brown. It has to do with Belt. It has to do with Pill. It has to do with Beltran. One simple trade triggered all of that. And that's what you have to love about baseball. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And one little move can mean a thousand different things. And that's why baseball is what it is. That's why it's America's pastime. And that's why we love it. Now, we're going to get out now. When we come back, we're going to have Godheim. But it's going to be a little bit of a different Godheim. There's going to be some hostility in my voice. I'm going to keep it PG. I'm not going to get up bad or anything. I'm going to use clean language. But I'm not going to be happy about this one. Usually, Godheim is a fun mess around segment. This one isn't. I actually want to get this guy. And you're going to find out about that after the break. You know who it is, folks. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report. Only on radio.dominican.edu. I will see you after the break.
Getting born in the state of Mississippi, Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel and a stunner, on them everywhere saying, baby, what you gonna? Looking down the barrel of a hot metal 45, just another way to survive.
This new term, this new battle cry that's going to be worldwide, it's called Godheim. Got him, little accent at the end. Sorry, Papa's feeling pretty delicious right now. Godheim. Or when you talk trash to someone. Godheim! You can afflict your tone any way you want. Godheim. Gosh, it's such a gorgeous friggin' term. People are going to jump on it. I know it. You're welcome.
That's right, you heard it, folks. It's time for Godheim, where we talk about who got in the world of sports. And if you tuned in to listen to Brian Sanchez, don't you worry, we got him.
Excuse me, was you saying something? You can't tell me nothing.
Ha ha, you can't tell me nothing. Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report. Thanks for hanging around, folks. You heard it. You heard Brian Wilson. It's time for Godheim. Usually this is a segment where we like to get on someone who messed up, you know, made a dumb mistake, made a dumb play, you know, said something stupid. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more somber this time. I didn't really want to talk about this subject on the show, but as a sports reporter, I wouldn't be doing my duty if I didn't bring it up, so I'm going to do it. I don't want to spend too much time on it because this guy doesn't deserve time unless it's in a prison. And we're talking about Jerry Sandusky, the former defensive coordinator for the Penn State Nittany Lions. He's got a 23-page grand jury report out on him because of molestation of young boys. And it's a really sickening thing that's going on here. What happened is he retired in 98 and he actually opened up a home, a charity. I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but it's to help troubled young boys. And during that time, he was caught in the locker room molesting one of the young boys. And a grad assistant for the team saw him. The grad assistant took that and he took it to Joe Paterno and told him about it. Joe Paterno reported it to the athletic director, reported it to the president. It didn't go any further than that. It just stopped. Nothing more came of it. This guy, the last I heard, they can find the names of about 40 young boys who were molested by this man. I mean, there is a special spot in hell for this guy for what he's done. It's just awful. I mean, it's making me sick just thinking about someone doing this. He set up a charity to help these young boys. And one of his favorite things to do was take them on a tour of Penn State and show them football and teach them how if they dedicate themselves to football, their lives will get better. And then the end of the tour, he took them in the locker room and had his way with them. And it's really, really disgusting. And it's hard to talk about. But the reason he's on Gottheim this week is because I want them to get him in prison or the chair or the lethal injection or whatever you have to do because it's just wrong. This is children we're talking about. And 40? But I see this story kind of like the Tiger Woods story or the Mike Vick dog story. It's barely in the realm of sports stories because he was retired and had very little to do with sports. But it's taken a turn in the last 24 hours. It's very much a sports story now. We're leaving behind what he did. It's disgusting, and he's got to be hated for it. And it's just god-awful what he did. But Joe Paterno did know about it, and he reported it, and so did the AD to the president. And they didn't do anything. They let this creep stay around the campus. And they said even last week, Sandusky was working out in the gym. How can all this be reported and you let this guy keep hanging around Penn State? It's just awful, and I can't believe they allowed that to happen. So now they're saying within days, possibly a week or two, Joe Paterno is going to be stepping down. This is one of the most historic coaches in history. He's got the most wins in college football history, and this guy is going to be stepping down like this with this scandal on his hands. It's just awful, and it's too bad he's got to go down like that, but you know what? I don't feel bad for Paterno at all because he knew what this guy was doing to these little boys and he didn't follow up on it. He didn't make sure Sandusky wasn't allowed around. He didn't take it to the police. He didn't do anything. He just reported it to the AD so he could clear his conscience. And now there's no legal action that could be done against him because he didn't hide it. He took it to the next person above him. He did what he was supposed to do, but you've got to follow up on that. I don't care if he was a good defensive coordinator or not. If you wanted to keep him around, you liked him, you didn't want to get him in trouble. This is just natural human rights we're talking about here, and it's disgusting what happened. So the Gottheim today goes to Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno because you're not retiring from age, which is what my friend and homemate Susan Van Triste asked me. She posted the link about Joe Paterno, and she asked me if I thought it was about his age that he's getting released or if it's all about the scandal because she was curious, and I'm saying it's 100%. On this scandal, because what he's doing, because if it was about age, he would have been gone 20 years ago because this guy's like 600 years old. He's barely even coaching anymore. So it's 100% on the scandal. They want him gone because he did the wrong thing, and that's something he's going to have to live with. So Gottheim, Joe Paterno, and Jerry Sandusky, I don't like either of you. You both make me sick. Paterno, it's too bad because up until this last week, you were a pretty cool old guy that made some funny jokes about people, and now you're just a guy who just let things happen to little boys, and it's just awful, and I'm done talking about it. I did my duty. I brought it up. This monster was created by silence, by nobody talking about it. It's silent no more because the sports report's going to air you out, especially if you do something like that. So if either of those two have something to say to me, go to the Facebook page, let me know, and I'll come to your house, and I'll let you know how I feel about that. Whew, okay, that was not a pretty segment. But if you are looking for a pretty segment, you're going to want to stick around because I'm about to rep the Bay with my boy P-Yob. And man, is it a great day to rep the Bay. These fighting Jim Harbaughs are doing some over here in San Francisco that nobody believed was going to happen. But they better believe it now because they're coming and they're coming strong. and the Giants are up next. We're going to get into that after the break. Stay with me. I'm Brian Sanchez. This is the Sports Report on radio.dominican.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is DJ P-Yob, and I bleed red and gold for my boy DJ B. Rep the Bay.
What's up, everybody? This is DJ T-Baby. The Golden State Warriors are my team. Klay Thompson, Monte Ellis, Steph Curry. Stay tuned for the season.
You heard right, folks. Brian Sanchez back here with you on the Sports Report, only on radio.dominican.edu. I'm going to rep the Bay right now. I got P-Yob sitting across from me like I always do. You heard it on the intro. He bleeds red and gold. P-Yob, how you doing?
Dog, man, I'm feeling great. Just with a 7-1 start for the 49ers since 1997. Feels great.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. And P-Yob, can you explain this to me right now? I got an empty seat next to me right now. What's up with that?
All right, first of all, DJ T-Baby is having a little bit of emotional problem. So I don't know what's wrong with him. I guess me and him got a little argument. I think I shook his hand too hard. That was the problem. I shook his hand too hard. And maybe the slap on the back was a little gift at the end.
All right, so you heard it, folks. T-Baby Schwartz isn't going to be with us today. But that's all right, because I still got P-Yob. And I'll tell you what, you bleed red and gold. You're not bleeding right now because we're not getting beat by anybody. 7-1. Five in a row.
We're 5 in a row.
The fighting Jim Harbaughs are going crazy right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we're 6 in a row, buddy.
Are we?
6 in a row. I think we're 6 in a row.
We are 6 in a row.
We're 6 in a row.
Because we went 1-1 and then strung out 6 in a row. Because we lost to the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know what was up with that.
Still a rookie mistake. I wouldn't even say it was a mistake. I just think it's Cowboys more, they were just more experienced at that time.
All right, so we had the bye week, and some people were worried that it would slow us down. We were on such a roll. It wasn't a good time for the bye week. We had just won some big games, Buccaneers, Lions. But we come out, and we're handling our business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just looking impressive right now. 2 wins since the bye week, and now we're coming home, and we got the New York Giants. 6-2, the New York Giants. Eli Manning's having a year. You look at PTI any day, they're having the debate, is Eli Manning up in Tom Brady territory yet? So he's going off this year. Victor Cruz helping my fantasy team, obviously, because he's going off. You got Knicks, Manningham, Bradshaw. They're saying he could play this week. No one expected him to be back this soon, but he could be back, along with Brandon Jacobs. You got the pass rush of Tuck and Pierre Paul. What do you think is going to happen this weekend?
First of all, Victor Cruz has been my favorite wide receiver to watch this year. Not just, he makes spectacular catches. He's a better version of Brandon Lloyd. This guy's a deep threat. He's got speed. And not to mention, he has that great salsa dance at the end of every touchdown, which makes me laugh every time.
All right, so our defense right now on the Niners, we're one of the best in the league, but this Giants offense is rolling. Are we going to slow them down?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're number one against the rush. So I'm not worried about anything with the running game. What worries me is the pass game. We've always struggled. But this season's been a bit different. I mean, I know we still struggle against the pass sometimes, but we shut down John Beck. And that was very impressive. John Beck is he's been studying. He's a backup quarterback. Not that great, but you have to figure out they didn't have a lot of wide receivers in the Washington side. They shut down Davis, who is their tight end. He's a young stud. And you know what? This defense really, really looks good this year.
They do.
They're carrying us.
You're absolutely right. And my worry is you have so many receiving threats on this Giants team. Cruz, Manningham, you got Jake Ballard, the tight end out of Ohio State, is having a great year. You got a lot to deal with. Hakeem Nicks, I don't think he's going to be healthy, so we might not have to deal with him. But Bradshaw could be healthy, but we're not worried about the run. Mm-hmm. Especially if Ray McDonald comes back, that'll be a great help, even though Ricky Jean-Francois did very well in his absence. But is this secondary going to be able to hold up?
See, I mean, I'm just saying, if you could shut down Calvin Johnson, well, we didn't shut him down, basically. We held him out of the end zone. Great. And then you shut down a Tampa Bay-type offense, and you shut down you come back from behind, and you basically shut them down from the second half. This squad is playing great.
Yeah, absolutely. And ever since they've moved Chris Culliver. They had him at the number two defensive back for a while. They moved him to the nickel back now, and his athleticism is really showing. You've seen him jump some routes, made some nice plays. But I think the biggest thing that's happened to this secondary is Deshaun Goldson. What do you think of his play lately?
Well, in high school, when I was studying Deshaun Goldson exhibition, when I studied him at LSU, he bit on the play fake a lot. He bit on play action. He always bit on the run. But now this year, very, very strong, a hard hitter. And he's doing that. He's doing what he's good at, being a hard hitter. And when he's in coverage, he always goes after the ball. He's a ball hawk, which the 49ers need. Great re-sign there. Imagine Reggie Smith if he comes back from injury. This is a good tandem here for safeties.
Yeah, and you got Whitner, too.
Yeah,
can't forget about Whitner. And then Taylor Mays is gone, which I was glad about.
Yeah.
But when you go Goldson, it seems like every game now he's got a pick and a big hit.
Yeah.
Whitner's just a solid safety who's not going to make mistakes. And Reggie Smith is a nice safety that can come down in the box, cover a tight end, which is we've been missing a little bit.
Yeah.
And it may show against the Giants. But we're 7-1 now. We've beaten the Browns and the Redskins coming out. So we got a nice roll going again. Are we going to beat the Giants this weekend?
Yeah, this is really tough, but the good thing, we're at home.
That's right.
When you're at home and you could feed off the crowd. And what if Braylon Edwards, I was reading an article on CSN Bay Area, if Braylon Edwards promises that he says this 49ers team, this 49ers offense is not at its peak. They're not.
I hope not.
Basically, they're not their peak. He said they have more potential than the New York Jets offense when he was with the New York Jets. And that was a solid offense.
That was.
Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards.
Sean Green, Dustin Keller.
Yeah, you got so many people on that New York Jets squad. Look at the weapons Alex Smith has. It seems like these guys are young and they're hungry for victory.
You know, this offense is looking nice, and I got three questions from you. I'm going to go three different sports. We're going to rapid fire them.
All right, let's go.
Has Alex Smith's play this year warranted an extension at the end of the year?
Mm-hmm. Of course it has.
You'd extend him.
I'll extend him for about 2 years, 2 to 3 years.
Okay, next. Giants trade Jonathan Sanchez from Melky Cabrera. Where do you fall on that trade?
Great trade. Jonathan Sanchez, very inconsistent. Melky Cabrera, a 275 career hitter, and we need a center fielder.
And third, is there going to be an NBA game this year?
No, there won't.
All right, folks. You heard it from P-Yob. There's not going to be an NBA game. I'm going to agree with him because the owners are strong-arming them. They're keeping them out. They're not going to allow there to be an NBA game this year. And it's unfortunate because did you hear about this We Believe charity game that happened for the Warriors?
Yeah, I know. Jason Richardson, he wants to re-sign with us, buddy.
I'll take him, too.
We need size.
For those who don't know, there's a We Believe charity game. And it was the old Warriors against current Warriors. And, you know, they were playing fundraising. Every ticket sold was for fundraising. But there's one thing I took out of it that was important to me. The draft pick, Jeremy Tyler, which was big, first of all, because Joe Lacob bought him in the draft, which is something Kohan never would have done. He's a big, strong-shouldered center who rebounds and blocks shots. Very athletic. They asked him if he'll be able to play the four next to Andres Biedrins and if they think they'll be a good tandem. Did you hear his answer?
I didn't hear that answer.
I'm a center, and I want to be a center.
Wow.
So the answer was, no, I'm not going to be playing along Andres Biedrins. I'm the center. And that's got me excited.
Well, the thing about Jeremy Tyler, this guy's 16 years old when he went to Japan, went to Israel to play some ball. And I want to see if this guy really developed as a young kid playing overseas against professional athletes. I mean, you can't do that in the college game. So his game may have developed. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised his draft stock was really low, but I'm surprised he's a second round pick. Maybe I was thinking late round.
Are you as thrilled as I am to have him?
Oh, of course I am.
All right.
Chris Cohen, already bad owner.
So we, oh God, he was awful. So we covered three sports right there. You got your Niners. They're going to win this weekend against the Giants because we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put that down. 8-1, and then there's going to be no looking back. We may have this division locked up by Thanksgiving.
I hope so.
And I don't think we're going to lose one in division. If we do, it's going to be a fluky game, probably to the Cardinals. Then we went baseball for you. We like the Melky Cabrera trade. Now, for those of you listening, I know I spent the entire show on the Giants, but why wouldn't I? It's the Giants and it's baseball. And then you got NBA. There's going to be no season. It's looking like, as of now, about 90% no season. Mm-hmm. But Jeremy Tyler is going to be a force when we get back. And when we get back from this next break, I'm not going to be here anymore. But who is going
to
be here?
It's going to be DJ P-Yob. What are you talking about? 7-8, rep the Bay.
Man, you guys heard it. Now, you said no tea, baby.
No tea, baby.
But are you doing the show alone?
No, we got a few special guests, and you'll find out as long as you tune in here on radio.dominican.edu.
You heard it, folks. So you're going to have to tune in to find out. That's going to do it for me, Brian Sanchez from the Sports Report. Make sure you check out the Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Brian Sanchez Sports. I'm going to have the daily poll question for you guys, everything you need to know. I want your comments. I'll put them on the show. I did it all day today. Thank you. Great show. You stay classy, San Rafael.